This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
What is the meaning of Christmas? This time when the world's full of cheer. What is the meaning of Christmas? This magical time of year.
Hey everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show talking about Christmas Canadian cartoons. The Triple C, the CCC, if we will. And this is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
No, the CCC?
The CCC.
Friggin' Soviet Union now?
No, it's like any other, I can't think of another acronym that had the same letter three times in a row that has a negative connotation. So we're the CCC.
Try harder, is what I will say. Try harder.
I'm thinking of the BBB, the Better Business Bureau. No, everybody loves that. AAA, that's Triple A. Everybody gets it.
And
can't get better than Triple A.
Yeah.
Hey, is that Gina? Is that Gina talking?
No, that's not TV's Gina Ippolito.
What?
My gosh. Hold on a sec. Gina's not here. Gina's working on important cartoon work that she cannot be here for. That's all I'm allowed to say. I'm probably not even allowed to say that. I probably just messed up. The point I'm trying to make here is we are joined by the co-host of Who Would Win Masters among all his social media, cuteavalanche.com for rescued kitties. Sam Proof is here with us. TV's Sam Proof.
That's right. Vaguely TV Sam Proof. But hello, folks. And speaking of rescue kitties, Chan, how's that cat that you adopted from us?
Both of them, you mean?
Was it two? God, Lady I Smith, don't even remember. Lazo
and Huckleberry Pie
both
doing just fine. Huck just knocked over the camera of the last podcast I did a few minutes ago.
That's how we train him.
He is gone now, but you may see Cat Butthole if you wish.
Well, we might have dueling cat buttholes because that is a common occurrence on the Who Would Win Masters show as well.
That sounds like a Darren Aronofsky movie, but whatevs, man.
I'm into it. Look, so for full disclosure, because I love to peek behind the curtain, both Robert Clark Chan, Sam Proof, and myself have independently of the crew been recording podcasts already today, and we are here in the hours recording this episode because it's the only time that it would actually fit. The only time it would fit in any of our schedules to get this out. So be prepared for an absolutely outrageous thing. Matthew Dawson, who was with us for Who Would Win Masters, the wrap-up, never left the studio. So as we started this, he is now in the studio with us right now.
We got a stowaway.
That is phenomenal. Got a stowaway here for Knowing Is Half the Podcast. First time in over 10 years of the show existing.
Is this the kind of ship you run over on Who Would Win?
That's
yes,
right.
Absolutely.
I've never heard of the podcast. Second of all, why are you ruining our podcast with it?
Wow.
What, you're saying I'm ruining our podcast with the presence of Mortal Versus' own creator, Matthew Dawson? I disagree, sir. We needed more Detroit Lions fans in the chat, and now we have them.
He did not know he was here, which means that there was no consent involved.
Yeah, I can't kick him out. Maybe I can, but I wouldn't. So we have stowaways. I think this show, I think Knowing Except the Podcast deserves more stowaways. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, do you not? You don't
look,
do this?
I like Riverside.
Do what we do, which is let our paid Patreon members join us behind the veil.
Yeah, what's wrong with that, Robert Clark Chan? Don't you want to give extra value to our patrons?
Absolutely not.
I know. It's
fair enough.
It's sad.
Fair enough.
Folks, when you see I'm Knowing It's Half the Podcast Patreon, the things don't get posted for like a week or two. This is why, because Robert Clark Chan doesn't think you deserve anything. I do. I disagree with him. Constant battles. A lot of friction between the two of us on this topic.
So we're in the midst of a Canadian Christmas, everybody.
Yes, we are.
At the behest of the Discord, or rather purely to spite the Discord, who demanded we watch a Nelvana Christmas special. I said, well, all right, fuck you. We're going to watch all Canadian Christmas specials. And weirdly, last week, did not hate it.
I didn't hate it either.
And I'm gonna get out in front of this one so you can't ding me for saying I went the opposite way of y'all just because I'm a contrarian like that. I kind of liked Tukiki and his search for a Merry Christmas.
Why do all Canadian Christmas specials have extra long titles? This is very upsetting to me as I put this together.
Because they have time. They're not consumed with a rat race like we are here in America.
I mean, it was a different
famously
age.
Anti-capitalist Canada.
I mean, when did this come out? It was with the late 70s?
1979 is when this episode came out.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, it's the era of the Emmett Otter's Jug Band Christmas. That's still a long name. They're not exclusive to Canada.
I didn't love that either.
Put your pipe and smoke it, Ray.
Yeah, no, that's fine. Look, this is a Sam and Chan versus Ray episode, and that's fine. Look, more Canada. I'm here for more Canada.
Why am I pink? Why am I Sam and Chan?
Not doing that. Steve Buscemi, I'm not doing that here.
Clever wordplay.
The entire episode.
This is where you play Yakety Sax. Isn't that your job? I don't know what your job is because I've never heard of your podcast, but I assume that you play wacky morning DJ drops, including Yakety Sax.
I am so still in mode from the last podcast that I'm like, it's time to move it on. Should I be saying, all right, next up, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. Let's go to reviews. We have fewer comments.
I thought we'd escape Gina. we got to go. We got to move. We have to be done by 8 o'clock.
There you go. Does this make the show better, Chan?
Wow.
Not with you do it.
Benny Hill is going to break our legs.
Does that make the show better for anyone?
All right. No, maybe. Does it feel faster?
I feel like you just dragged the show to a halt with your suggestion. That's all.
Did I or did you fail to adequately support it by, I don't know, having comedic timing? Now, hold on. Wait. I know that the moment has passed for this thing, but let me bring it up real slowly and stutteringly way after the fact.
No, that doesn't improve anything.
Closer. So there's a little Inuit boy. I say Inuit and you hit Yakety Sax. Super racist, man. I don't even know what you were doing here.
Chad, I'll tell you.
I I mean, the song's only 4 minutes long. How long could this take?
Oh my God, I'm in tears.
I cannot wait to see the analytics from this episode
and watch it crash.
About 8 minutes in.
7 minutes, 50% drop off. And then 1 minute later, they came back just to drop off again. It's unexplainable.
Y'all, you know, this is the second podcast recorded for every single one of us. It's about to get ridiculous in here.
Boy.
About to? Okay.
I'm in absolute tears right now. The point is, we watched Takiki in his search for a Merry Christmas. What is the meaning of Christmas? So, Takiki am I allowed to say Eskimo? Is that a word we're allowed to use anymore, Chan?
I said Inuit, and you should follow my lead.
Well, I'm not a good listener.
We can tell.
An Inuit named Takiki.
Takiki.
And I honestly thought this was a girl the entire time. They tell me it's a boy through pronouns, and I had a hard time wrapping my head around that. I really felt like Takiki was presented very femininely. And there's really nothing else to work on as far as like gender norms in the portrayal goes. Chan, back me up.
Do you know how many young boys are played by full-grown women in voice acting?
Roughly all.
Also, that was not who did the voice here. The voice was Adam Rich, who was the cute little kid from Eight Is Enough. So you don't even have that to be like, oh, it sounded like a girl. It sounded like the young child, Adam Rich, who was well known in America at that time.
Not to me. It sounded like a young girl the entire time.
It definitely did sound a lot like a girl. But maybe Ray was confused by the form-fitting, you know, parka. Just that
no,
big
I
bell
just,
shape.
Look,
no, I had the same feeling.
I was confused, all right?
Takiki
sounds.
And
a card that says, like, have a Merry Christmas flies into Takiki's, like, whereabouts and says, I don't know what Christmas is. And that's fine. You know, I would think that there's some media literacy about Christmas in 1979 America, but we're going to keep going anyway.
You're saying that this indigenous tribe that has yet to be colonized by the white devil is backward somehow, isn't keeping up with your cultural standards, Ray?
No, that is not what I am saying at all, Robert Clark Chan.
Wow.
I'm not trying to say that at all. I'm just saying that now, and to be fair, this might be taking place in Canada. In my headspace, it takes place in Alaska.
It's a Canadian production. It only aired in friggin' Canada. Why would you assume that it was in Alaska?
Because I'm an American, Chan, and I'm talking about American. And you know what? There's only one thing that went through my mind as I thought about this.
Well, no, here we go.
No.
That honestly, when Ray says the only thing that went through my mind, I think you go to the Banana Splits theme song instead at that point. I think that's the cue.
I mean, that's fair.
Sam is correct.
I assume it was, look, to be fair, and Sam, and to what you said, if we're talking about what goes through my mind whenever I make a very good point, there is really only one answer, and it's this right here.
Oh, meow, 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 meow,
oh my God. I am powerless to stop this from happening.
It's going through my mind 24/7.
Okay.
You know what? I'll give you that one. That is a powerful, that sticks powerfully in the mind. So Takiki is trying to figure out the meaning of Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to spoil it for you here, right here at the very tippity top.
Wow.
At no point does Takiki or anybody tell us verbally what the spirit.
Thank you. Yeah, that's. We'll save you some time.
I was at the end. It was like, oh, have you found the meaning of Christmas? And I was like, okay, here it comes. Like he's done a lot of things, and he's shown what the spirit of Christmas is by doing all this stuff. And then it's like, yep, roll credits. Fuck you, Canadians. Like, I get it. Like, you know, like you want to let people do their own thing, but like,
yeah,
this is a goddamn children's cartoon, and the title of it is The Search for a Merry Christmas. He's searching for a thing. He finds a thing. You got to show us the thing. You got to tell us the thing.
It's true. No, they ask what the meaning of Christmas is, and then immediately cut to like seals and ice fishing and an Inuits and a seal that is very salty about the holes in the ice because all the fish belong to the seal.
Yeah,
he's a walrus.
It's a walrus, first off.
Yeah. Or a walrus, excuse
me.
Yeah.
Second, I dig this guy's vibe, man.
No, I honestly, as I was watching this, my first thought is I have yet to see a more perfect encapsulation of Robert Clark Chan in an animated character than this walrus.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, I see it now.
I love it. So they go to Nanook the polar bear, and nobody knows what Christmas is, which is great. I mean, that's a great premise.
Yeah. Can I say that also he is both somehow an overweight and yet also emaciated bear at the same time somehow?
It's all skinny fat.
Yeah.
You've known plenty of improvisers that
that's fair.
Are malnourished and drink too much beer, and that's what you get. You get Nanook, the polar bear. Also, I was trying to figure it out. I was trying to figure out the names of all these characters because you can't find it in the Wikipedia. You can't find it on IMDb. All it says is like additional voices, and they're real mumbly mouthed about it. They're very real Tom Hardy when they say names. I feel like the seals, the walrus's name is like Avuk or something similar. Nanook, maybe, we heard pretty clearly. Tuktu is the next one. Could not tell what those.
Min-Mac the Yak.
Yeah, yeah. I wrote Ming Mac.
I wrote Fizzle Me Mac. I don't know what's happening.
I wrote Return of the Yak.
Sure.
Yak Attack. All right.
Oh boy, don't do it, Sam.
Look, nobody knows Christmas, so they go to talk to the moose, who hates being normal. I liked this moose character. She was delightful. She's like, I'm brown, which was a little awkward. And she was just like, I look like every other moose. Nothing is special about me. And she says, get out of here, go ask the yak. So he goes and they starts asking Min-Mac the yak. And there's three of them. And they start getting trolled by the yaks. And I asked the question out loud, is this Yak Hitler? And I think it is. I sent y'all a picture. You tell me.
I think it's more of a Scenester emo haircut.
Wait a minute, are you saying just because he has like a friggin' bowl cut?
I'm saying because he has Hitler's mustache.
That's his nose. That's his friggin' nose, man.
That his nose or is that his Hitler mustache, Jan?
We see it from multiple angles on all three buffalo.
There's nostrils.
We have seen that. Look, I'm going to put it on screen for the people at home right now. That is a Hitler mustache. And look at the way the hair is combed. That is Yak Hitler. I'm sorry, you'll never convince me otherwise. Tell me I'm wrong, people.
You're wrong.
You're wrong.
The people tell you you're wrong.
It seems outrageous. How could I be wrong?
This honestly is a pretty great setup for like, hey, let's find out the meaning of Christmas. And surprisingly, Adam Rich as Takiki is not grating. This is the type of character that is usually like, well, what's the meaning of Christmas? And I'm just like, all episode long, I'm like, fuck, shut up. No, you know what the spirit of Christmas is? You fucking die. You specifically die here on Christmas because you're the worst. And at no point did I feel that. I'm like, oh man, Kiki's like going around the world and discovering shit and he's chill about it. And people are kind, and this is great.
I didn't hate this performance. I was confused over whether, you know, the gender of this character, but I did feel the performance was very delightful. And this is when it made me very uncomfortable that we meet the North Wind, who is the North Wind. And y'all tell me if I'm crazy once again.
Nope.
The North Wind is coded as a sex trafficking.
Oh, God.
100%.
Unfortunate.
Did you not get that, Sam? Because I 100% picked up on that.
I guess I was so... See, when he first appeared, I was like, oh, finally, the Christmas Wizard. Now we'll get some answers. And then immediately after the Christmas Wizard showed up, I didn't even catch that he was the North Wind until way later. I was like, wait.
He's the only other character listed in the credits.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't looking at IMDb yet. But I was, as soon as I said Christmas Wizard, I was like, that's Winnie the Pooh. And then I just, for the rest of it, it was just Winnie the Pooh taking this kid around. And Winnie the Pooh was the most innocent of bears. So how could you possibly superimpose that on him?
The pantsless bear that runs around with little children? That's the guy that you think is... All right, hold on.
And now you wanted to know about Christmas, I believe.
Piglet?
For 25 cents and a box top or two.
Oh, hold on. No. I'm sorry. Mm. What I was looking for was...
Oh, boy.
Well, I'm whoever you want me to be, my lad.
Yeah, that. All that right there.
Maybe. I might have missed that with my revelation of Winnie the Pooh. But
and is, again, was that the actor who plays Winnie the Pooh? Because that's what I got out of it.
Yeah, it's 100% him. Yeah,
I know him as Jim Cummings. This guy's named Sterling Holloway, and I would totally buy that at one point he did. He played Mr. Stork in Dumbo, Adult Flower in Bambi, Cheshire Cat and Alice in Wonderland. Oh, title character in Winnie the Pooh. There you go.
Yeah, no, Jim Cummings is new Winnie the Pooh, but he played old Winnie the Pooh. I had a feeling it was something like that. Look, here's my, when he showed up, here are my four notes in order. A pedophile.
Uh-huh.
Second one, is that Winnie the Pooh?
Whoa.
Right?
Third one.
That was my second note.
This is making me very uncomfortable.
Sure.
And fourth one, oh my God, he's about to do Bible stuff. Kid, get out of here.
Yeah. All these things are correct.
Yeah. That's my litany of notes from this section. So an unfortunate man shows up. And this is why, again, I really wanted this to be coded with our lead character to be a female, because somehow it made it less creepy.
I don't know.
It's cool for an old man to molest little girls, is what you're saying.
Wow.
My concern is that this old man would only molest a certain gender. The other gender was slightly safer.
So you're saying that all gay men are molesters?
That is not what I am saying, Robert Clark Chan. You're trying to get me in trouble.
What I'm hearing.
When I hear molesters and I hear that voice and I see that man, I assume he's going after a certain type.
Uh-huh.
And I feel that other types would be safer. I want people in this cartoon to be safe. And that's the headcanon I put myself in. You could draw whatever you want from it. That's where my brain went.
I mean, I feel like going into it, thinking it's a Canadian production, you feel like that level of safety is going to be there, right?
You
would wish that level of safety is there, but we've seen too much, Sam Proof.
I mean, Porky's hasn't happened yet. That's all I'm saying.
That is the watershed mark where we all realize, hey...
Canada's no good too.
Are concerning.
I mean, yes, we do have two more years till Porky's comes out and ruins all of our ourselves forever.
I did realize that on my document, I had a note that was scrolled up about that. They're musaxes, not yaks. But I wanted to say that there's this point where he goes to ask the muskoxes about Christmas, and they give him the equivalent of, did you try looking where you left your keys in the last place by saying, oh, did you ask who sent you this letter? What Christmas is?
Yep. I'm like, real dick move.
Yeah. I'm like, but you know what?
I mean, they are muskoxes. And I think we all know muskoxes, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I'm just saying a muskox is probably going to throw up a sign here and there. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
When the muskox moves in the neighborhood, property values drop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look, they do a whole thing here about Black Peter that also made me deeply uncomfortable.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, Svart Pike. Yeah. What would be the problem there? Oh, we're doing blackface here on this Canadian cartoon in 1979. Wunderbar.
But like I wrote in all caps, Black Peter. But then, oh, don't worry, he's not actually black. Oh. Which does not fill me with comfort for where this cartoon is going. And then they just describe Krampus, which I guess wasn't a thing in America or Canada in 1979.
Right.
But they're just talking about Krampus.
Ray.
Yeah, Black Peter is Dutch Krampus with blackface.
Yeah, look up Svart Pete. It's a thing, and it is deeply problematic.
Yeah. Of course, it is.
1979. No one would have had a problem with it.
That is a problem.
Yeah, yeah. Did you Google it and go to images?
No, I really don't want to, Chan. Are you going to make me do this in real time?
I mean, I'll share the goddamn screen if I have to.
No, okay, don't
Black
put this
Peter,
on your
here I go.
No.
Oh no,
too late. That's yeah. But
because
the
I mean, here's
people.
The deal: the toys freak out because our hero comes out of the chimney covered in soot, and they go, "You are Black Peter." And then they're like, and then she wipes the soot away. Wipes the soot away, and they go, "Oh, you're not actually black, so you're not problematic." And I would disagree. All of this is problematic. Oof. I had a really hard time. But then they tell the story of Krampus. I don't know, man. I want to give this some benefit of the doubt. But given where we're about to later in this episode around the world, I'm not. Yes, I have seen the picture, Chan.
The benefit of the doubt is that it could have been so much worse.
It could have been worse.
I mean, here's the thing. I don't think the concept of Black Pete had filtered into the American consciousness. Now, if you say that, most people who are not Ray and have an understanding of the world would be like, oh, yeah, Black Pete, that's not good. But at the time, we were still just like, oh, what a quaint Dutch
tradition. Learning cultural stuff.
Yeah, yeah. And that aside, it's kind of cute and it's kind of fun what they're doing here. They're, we are going around and we're finding out about traditions around the world. I don't know about these almond paste cookies that the fucking bear is so into, but they also have this tradition where each kid gets a little fir sapling that they plant, and then they decorate it every year until it's big enough to plant
what
outside.
Is that?
Dude, that's dope as shit.
I've never heard of that. Yeah, it's a cool tradition.
Yeah.
I hated this tradition. Look, I hate this tradition for multiple reasons. Because one, you got to keep the tree alive all year long. And that's hard. I am terrible with plants and crops, and I can't keep anything alive over 2 months. The idea that you would put children or babies in charge of a sapling means it will be dead and they will have a dead tree their entire lives.
It's an important learning lesson for a kid. It's way better that it's a plant than a hamster or, God forbid, a dog, right?
Also, goddamn crops. Yeah. We're not asking you to bring in the soybean harvest, man. Keep a fucking tree alive.
Look, that's the other Stecanus is in another part of the country, keeping the soybeans alive. I can't even keep a goddamn red pepper tree or birds of paradise alive. I'm bad at this. And I have farming roots, but they don't take.
I have seen zucchinis in the backyard of your old place. You managed to keep those alive.
Those are fairly easy.
You can a fucking evergreen pine tree. It's evergreen. It stays alive throughout the goddamn winter.
Right.
The fucking leaves don't fall off. It is as hardy as you can get.
I can't. These Christmas trees die on me every single year. What do you mean?
They're cut down.
Yeah.
They're already dead when you get them.
This Christmas tree, I can't keep it alive for an entire year. I could barely keep it sentient till January.
You are doing Christmas wrong.
I mean, that might be true.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
My mornings are chaos. I need coffee that works as hard as I do. That's why I drink Everyday Dose, coffee with benefits. It's rich, delicious coffee boosted with mushrooms, collagen, and nootropics. Everything I need for focus and balance, ready in 30 seconds. The Black Friday sale is on. Get 61% off your first coffee plus starter kit, a free A2 probiotic creamer, and over $100 in free gifts. Plus, enter for a chance to win $100 cash or get your entire order refunded. Visit everydaydose.com/podcast or use code podcast at checkout.
This isn't just a game, it's a once in a generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, hockey fans! Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at usahockeyntdp.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.
And now, another Tyco Superblocks adventure. The dam has broken. The road's out. The town's in danger. So you grab your Tyco Superblocks and quickly build a bulldozer, a backhoe, a dump truck, the giant cranes, and the construction counter. Rushing to the scene, you clear the road. You've saved the town. You did it. Another great adventure with Tyco Superblocks. They work with Lego, too. Tyco Superblocks, Road Builder Adventure Series. 9 building sets, each sold separately. New only from Tyco.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
But doing wow. Christmas right, we got to talk about this song that occurs. And I happen to...
Takiki steals somebody else's clown toy?
Look, it's after that, because we got to pull this clown toy out of the garbage. And I don't think you do. I don't think clown toys should be out of the garbage.
No. Clown toy, who's been discarded... And Takiki, who is an empathic little kid, is like, oh, man, like, why are we throwing that dude away? Like, why doesn't somebody love him? And the other toys are like, yeah, sure. Take asshole clown over there. We don't want him. And then it comes back around at the end, which I honestly wasn't paying attention, wasn't expecting to happen. And when it did come around, I'm like,
yes,
fuck, dude, that was pretty cool.
It was honestly a very good moment, but there are a lot of songs throughout this, so I do want to play a little bit. So obviously we want to play the bangers, so here we go.
There are none.
absolutely no bangers.
Oh, wait, that was the wrong one. Excuse me. Hold on. I sadly put up the wrong window.
Somehow.
That was my mistake. Let me go ahead and put up the correct one here. This is part of the Song of the Dolls. Here we go. It's kind of militaristic.
Yeah, a little bit. Oh, no, here go the trees.
No!
Look at what you...
Takiki has knocked over all of the children's trees, breaking them. And my immediate next note before I'd seen anything more is, don't they do magic? What are we doing here?
I mean, yeah, they did the magic of picking it up and sweeping. I know that seems like magic to you, like you come home and your house is magically clean and nobody could possibly have done the housework that you were supposed to do. But in fact, it's actually pretty easy.
No, there are elves who live in my house who clean everything up and then occasionally take money out of my bank account.
That's right.
This bit right here, I'm just gonna ignore everything you say.
Okay. And, wow.
Haze cookies, is that what Christmas is?
Yummy cookies made in the shape of a person's initials and filled with scrumptious marzipan.
Yeah.
I'm much more uncomfortable watching this again.
Yo.
Okay, I forgot about this part. They put the three letters A, P, and H in a circle saying it's in somebody's name. And I've tried to put those three letters in several incarnations and cannot come up with anybody's name that equals Hap, Pa, Af. Right.
Maybe they're initials.
What an initial is. Because
No. He said it's somebody's name.
There said initials.
No, but I heard name. So therefore, I don't know whose name that could be. That's a weird name.
I am going to do this one more time because, first off, y'all need to hear the, but also, just so we don't go past this and Ray has some sort of plausible deniability.
Almond paste cookies. Is that what Christmas is?
Yummy cookies, made in the shape of a person's initials and filled with scrumptious marzipan.
Look,
that's a bear who loves marzipan, and I'm here for it. I think marzipan should be enjoyed by more people outside of Homestar Runner references.
The bear loves two things, marzipan and sex crimes. I think we can all agree.
Look, the North Wind brought the kid over.
Yeah.
Is this house the Canadian equivalent of Epstein Island? I have to ask the question.
No. Epstein's not going to take you to a friendly place. He's not going to take you to fucking McDonald's. He's going to take you to places where the other sex pests are.
Sam, you didn't know what you were getting into tonight, and I apologize.
You know what? I honestly opened this link, and I was like, this isn't like G.I. Joe. Is this, are they razzing me? Is this like, I'm getting my dues in? What's happening here?
I mean, yes and yes, but also, this is what Chan wants us to watch.
Look, we've been doing this shit for 10 years. There is not enough G.I. Joe to last.
There's more G.I. Joe, Chan.
There is more G.I. Joe, but we have spread it out.
We
put some filler in between.
Look, all of this is truly delightful. Anyway, we're going to say goodbye to these misfit toys, and we're going to head to the less problematic African village.
Here's the thing. This was the point where I was like, oh, we're going to different parts around the world. That's kind of cool, because at first I was like, oh, we're just going to this one place and learn about Black Pete, and then we're going to find out the meaning of Christmas. I don't know about this. And they go somewhere else. I'm like, oh, okay, this is kind of cool. And then I saw him go to Africa. I'm like, oh boy.
Yeah. My one note here in all caps just goes, uh-oh.
Here's the thing.
This can't go well.
It could have been so much worse.
My
sole issue with this is that the representative of the African diaspora of everyone who lives in Africa is a flute. With the voice of a British guy. And we're in colonialism.
When you think of music in Africa, it's a flute, which is, by the way, that's a recorder. That is not a flute, no matter what they call it.
You know what? It's long and it's got holes in it. And the only other option is, we'll just call it a flute and never speak of it again.
Yeah, right.
So if I'm reading the room correctly in this cartoon, we go to a village in Africa that is represented as a third world country. And I only say that because our lead child who made the flute is like wearing a diaper and nothing else.
Yeah. I mean, and it's yet, hot outside.
That's about right. Yeah, it's hot.
I mean, sure, there have been times I've wanted to wear a diaper and nothing else on a hot day. I get it. He makes a talking flute, but why would the North Wind think this is the location to learn about Christmas?
Well, again, because Christmas was not a thing until the white devil slave master showed up and started imprinting Jesus on everybody's foreheads with their batons and bayonets. We don't touch too much on that. Except for, again, the British guy explaining Africa to all of us.
Oh, and thank you for that.
I feel like anywhere non-Western that you go, you're going to have some mild issues. And like I said, they can get too crazy with it. But like, there wasn't Christmas before the armies came in and fucked shit up. So,
Chad, are you trying to imply that the history of worldwide Christianity is problematic?
On occasion, they have been known to cross a line or two, or all of them.
Wow. This is the first I've heard of that.
It's also kind of hard to go anywhere in the world and not have to deal with that, because guess what? The people of Central and South America didn't have Christmas before the conquistadors showed up. So,
yeah, I found this African section to be, I found it to be a little problematic. I'll go ahead and say it. I did think it was a little wild that they were all giving, making gifts to put on a table for baby Jesus.
Yeah.
I thought that was a little strange.
Yep.
I feel like I'm about to see some cat butthole. That's fine.
Nice.
You can just flank for now.
I'll take what I get with cats. It's time to get out of Africa. And thankfully, we don't linger.
Let's get out of Africa, Meryl.
We meet old Blizzard, who
to respect the Upright Citizens Brigade.
It's fine.
Zinger that I just dropped.
Okay.
Old Blizzard means well, but he's not too bright. I mean, and then we meet him. And they're like, look out for Blizzard. He's going to be a problem. And then we meet him, and he's perfectly fine. Northwind, you have the problem.
Yeah, 100%. I was like, okay, here comes the conflict of the episode. No, just went right by it.
This guy is fine. Okay. I mean, drawn a little goofy, but yeah.
And he didn't explain any Christmas traditions or anything. There was
nothing.
Zero reason for him to be in
here. He's not the Christmas Blizzard. Yeah.
He was perfectly reasonable as an anthropomorphic Blizzard. And he wasn't a dick. He wasn't stupid, really. He was just like, hey, man, how you doing? I'm good. All right, well, have a good day. And then we move on. And I'm like, why didn't you preface this by assuming the problem was about to happen? This guy was fine.
I will say this. There's a part later on, which is this period of like pretty nice looking animation, but it's that it's just like they're like going along the landscape like we're in The Shining or something, and I was like, what is this
gotta feels fill 24 like... minutes. It's Canada.
And then after looking at this, I'm like, there was a segment that did go too far. There was a segment somewhere, I don't know, maybe it was Australia, maybe it was China, maybe it was America, maybe we like went to an Indian school had all of these people saying, oh, I love Jesus, thank you for bringing him into our lives. And someone at the CBC was like, ixnay on the indigenous in a, how do you say indigenous a? It was bad news. They had to cut it. They had to fill it with something. They're like, I don't know, a fucking cloud? Sure. Blizzards are cold. Let's just do this for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Look, I'm here for it, but we're about to get out of here. And we're going to go to gnomes. A house with gnomes that are called the Tomtars.
I was trying to figure out, like, okay, this is a tradition somewhere. What the fuck is it? Are we these weird-ass colored elf things that look like those characters from that... What was that Halloween show we watched where there was, like all these vices that were, like, weirdly colored animated characters?
Yeah. Look, I don't remember the name, but yes, I know what you're talking about.
It felt like that, but then they said something about... what is it? They're, like, getting grain for the birds. And like that was a tradition. So like,
yes,
okay, maybe that's a thing. And I started Googling for that. I'm like, elves. And I think they're called like Tauntauns or some Tauntars. And I tried a bunch of variations on that spelling. Nothing. True. Not a goddamn thing. This is supposed to be somewhere. And I don't know where.
I don't know where, because the gnomes are trying to set up bird feeders outside, but they're inside and not really trying very hard. So the North Wind uses his magic and sets up an outdoor bird feeder with feed, and immediately, within a half nanosecond, the gnomes, the Tomtars inside, start dancing around as if they did shit. And that's the entirety of what we did here.
You know what? Sometimes you go to a donut party and you don't do shit. All you do is eat donuts.
That's and about right.
We're happy for it. That's all I'll say about that.
So we're moving on. and now we're in Mexico. Nothing problematic gonna happen. No.
Oh no.
None of the children have shoes.
I looked it up because I was like, oh boy, the only thing we know about Mexicans is sombreros and piñatas.
Right.
And I looked it up, and in fact, piñatas were a thing that were essentially introduced as Christmas decorations.
Okay.
Okay.
They're originally like thin clay pots that you would, and that were, they would represent greed, sloth, that kind of thing. And then you would, you know, smash them. They were the kind that had the all those big spikes. You would smash them and candy would come out. And that was a thing that was associated with the holidays. Obviously, again, colonialism, the Christians came in and said, like, you're believing in Jesus now. Here's some candy.
Right.
But, like, as close as they can get to actual, you know, Christmas traditions, they were doing okay.
Honestly, like, when I was down in Mexico last year, my first time ever being there, there was a whole thing I learned about Dia de los Muertos, the Day of the Dead, sure, and that it was a very traditional Mexican thing to do around a certain time of year. And when the colonizers showed up and started putting all the religion on them, they actually took their tradition, tweaked it to be Catholic, and they were like, no, we do this to honor the baby Jesus. And the colonizers were like, oh, okay. And so they were able to keep their traditions alive by like aping onto Catholicism. And I thought that was very interesting, smart, and wonderful. Also, a cat was just staring at me and Chan's camera, and I loved it.
Hey, get on the Patreon. That's the kind of exclusive content you're going to get.
I hope you do.
No, you established it isn't. Oh.
Yeah.
Jesus? Yep.
That happens.
There you are.
We'll be near Christmas, all right.
Look, we meet an iguana, but he turns out to be a chameleon.
Chameleon.
And he loves
He's
Jesus.
He's a Christmas lizard.
He is a chameleon.
Yeah.
What part of that? Why do you think iguana? He looks like a chameleon. He disappears like a chameleon. It's a fucking chameleon.
I'm coded to think he was an iguana at first, but I immediately changed my mind. Are you sure, Chan, you know what a Merry Christmas is?
Wow. He might go on an animated adventure now. Don't put that on Chan.
But at this point, Takiki is absolutely sure that they understand what a Merry Christmas is. And this is a point I thought would be assumed. And the fact, at some point, we see the North Wind blow the flute back to the African child to do the thing. Is it not assumed that this Merry Christmas card came from the North Wind initially to put in the path of Takiki to start this adventure? Seems heavily implied, but we never actually get a resolution to that talking point.
That's true. But there is a point where the North Wind, aka the Christmas Wizard, says he's going to show us a big trick, and then just pushes the lizard over with a gust of wind, which, you know, that might be the spirit of Christmas right there.
Honestly, if this guy, that's the only big trick that he has to show me, I'm happy.
Fair enough.
He gets back, Takiki gets back, and they're all like, well, did you find the meaning of Christmas?
Okay, hold on a sec, Chan. Because before Takiki gets back, we are given drone-style 1D animation for like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Wait. Can I, if you're going to pull that on Chan, I'm going to pull that on you. I have one more note, which is before they leave, Takiki goes up to the chameleon and says, I have something for you. Ties a piece of ribbon on him and goes, now you won't get lost. And the lizard tries to turn invisible. And then there's just this this bow hanging out because he can't turn that invisible. So he has just negated that creature's power. He's probably been eaten by coyotes.
I thought that was a terrible idea. Yeah.
So bad. Yeah.
I was unclear. I thought that he was sad that he kept disappearing and people couldn't see him. So that was, I thought that was a good thing, but I could be wrong.
But that's in his nature. So how weird to like make that a bad thing. That's like the Cheshire Cat being like, I can't I can't stand that I smile so much.
I mean, that cat
also
is a dick.
Evil. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. To be fair, and we have more musical numbers. I do want to play this as they're flying back.
My dear boy, it's been a long time since I've had so much pleasure.
All right.
Oh, bother.
All right, listen, I might have got my sound cues mixed up. But that needed to be heard.
Not eat any more pleasure. No, sir.
What? I look, to my initial point, how else am I supposed to read this upsettingness that I have in front of me?
He could have said, my dear boy, the pleasure is all mine, like a normal goddamn human being.
Dear boy, I had a great time tonight.
Since I've had so much pleasure. Boy, you have pleasured me.
Yes.
And all is well. Nope.
Y'all.
Nope.
This whole character made me very uncomfortable. We're back in the North Pole, though. This is all I wanted to say. And now, honestly, like the final message of Takiki collecting. I did not realize Takiki was stealing from every location that
we were at.
He stole
everything.
No,
except the food.
Yeah. He asked. That's why, like, another thing that I noted, like, when the clown was there, he was like, oh, I know someone who would love that. And they're like, please take it. It was like, thank you. I mean, he picked it up a little fast, so, like, he was...
A little fast.
He was going to take that one way or the other.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's asking for permission when you're going to steal anyway.
And yes, he gives a candy cane to the walrus. He gives the clown, because the walrus, all he wants to do is eat. So we give him a little treat. The Nanook is lonely. He said he is lonely. So he gives him a little clown friend. He's like, oh, thank you. That just fucking rules. Tuktu gets decorations. They pulled the little
Christmas
extra decorations.
On the
They're on on the floor. And yeah, she's like, oh my God, now I stand out. This I love this. Thank you so much. And they give the music that they stole from the black man. I didn't know this was...
How did that work exactly?
Ryan Coogler saw this and he was like, I'm going to make Sinners. Trust me, it's going to make sense. But...
Hey, muskoxes or yaks. Here's music that came to life that I threw in my bag.
Yeah.
Why not? I mean, truthfully, there's only one piece of music I can think of that I would throw into my bag.
No.
It took you so long to find that clip.
I've never been happier.
Wow. Hold on. Seriously, this is going to kind of eat at me. I do not know what the meaning of Christmas is. And old Pedo here says...
Hey, little river, I told you a river, a puzzle for all of mankind. If you took four little letters and put them together, the meaning of Christmas you'd find.
Oh, North Wind, thank you, whoever you are.
It fills your...
Song starts, the four little letters, and then we cut to a view of the stars where he's like, you're like swirling around. I'm like, oh, cool, you're going to spell out this word or whatever. Or you're going to say the word or whatever. Somebody's going to say what the meaning of Christmas is.
No.
And again, I figured it out. But the fact that they don't say it in a goddamn kids cartoon that is supposed to be explaining the meaning of Christmas is infuriating.
Wait, do you figure it out? What is it?
I mean, I assume the four letters are Yahweh, and it is all about the Old Testament God who will bring vengeance and wrath down for Christmas. It's love, you ding dong. That sure, that's fine. All you got to do, because we know you spent 16 minutes animating that fucking hellscape as we go back to the North Pole to fill time. You could have just written love up in the stars or peed in the snow or however you want to do it. We didn't bother. just didn't bother.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This, I'll be honest, y'all, this cartoon did not bring me joy.
That being said, I liked this. It was a real chill vibe. Nothing irritated me, having some fun at his expense. But as I was watching it, I was like, you know what? This is nice. The Canadians made a nice little thing, and I'm going to forget it in 15 minutes. But for the moment, and because I wrote down notes so that I could make jokes about it, I'm happy.
I mean, yeah, I suppose if I had seen this when I was six and I'm looking back on it now, I'd be like, oh, it's this. But yeah,
if I'd seen it when I was six, I'd be like, where's the fucking robots? Why isn't there more killing? This cartoon bullshit. But as an old man now, I'm like, okay, I can spend 22 minutes with this.
Mm. Look, as far as Canadian Christmas specials go, and we've been dealing in this realm for a little bit now.
Mm-hmm.
This is fine, but honestly, this is one of the least memorable things we've ever watched on this show.
I'm so glad you invited me to mark this occasion.
Sam, I'm glad you were here for it.
The only thing less memorable are other Canadian holiday cartoons.
It's the least memorable thing I've seen since the Trolls Christmas and the whatever Nelvana thing I assume we're watching next week.
Amazing.
We've already forgotten it. We haven't even seen it yet.
That's right. I've pre-forgotten it, and I'm happy to do so. Ladies and gentlemen, to Kiki and the search for a Merry Christmas.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's still searching somewhere out there.
We should. It's time to go.
No, it's not time to go yet, Chan. We have more things we're going to watch here, and I at least want to get it straight in my head.
I swear to God, if you fucking play Yakety Sax one more time, I will shut this window down. The audio will not upload, and we will have no episode.
Look, I don't want that. I don't even want to risk that.
You don't.
I just want to see.
You know that I will back that up.
No, Chan, trust me. No part of me doesn't understand the deadly nature of what you discuss. I'm trying to figure out, we don't have any recording scheduled for Christmas week. What are we, soft?
I don't know. Do you want your wife to beat you to death with a hammer?
Look, Chan, it's going to happen one way or the other. I may as well get content out of it.
Fair point. Yeah.
You know, maybe we come back or right before Christmas with like a Tuesday night something. I don't see it on the calendar, but we can get something else out before Christmas. I feel like we have more Canadian joy coming.
Listen, we have enough episodes to put one up on Christmas. We are not recording the week of Christmas.
Do we, though?
We do.
Yet to be determined.
Meow.
Yet to be determined.
I think look, case closed.
No. I think it is absolutely a very fair point. And I just only have one more thing to say.
It's like Chekhov's YouTube.
Oh my God. I'm literally in tears right now. I am laughing so hard at my own bit, and that is embarrassing, but here we are. Good night, everybody.
Hey, hockey fans. Can't get enough hockey? Then get more with Team USA. When you crave the fast-paced, hard-hitting action on the ice, but you don't always love the big league price, then Team USA has you covered with all the thrills and all the energy at USA Hockey Arena in Plymouth, and all at a family-friendly price. Get more fun and more hockey when Team USA hosts exciting NCAA, international, and USHL opponents. Grab your tickets now at USAHockeyNTDP.com and see America's NHL stars of tomorrow.